The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
All right, the program's Lyrics and Legends on the phone. We got a good one coming up. Buck Weatherby's in the studio with me, and it's another good one, which we say every time.
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to this. Becky Hobbs is on the phone with us.
Oh, man, we're looking forward to this. Hello, Becky.
Hello.
Beckaroo, as the email says.
Yeah, call me Beckaroo. That's what all my friends call me.
All right. We are looking forward to finding out a little bit about you and your music history, a little Oklahoma girl that's done well. I know our listeners are familiar with your music, and so we're looking forward to getting into this and finding out a little bit about you. You grew up over around Bartlesville, Oklahoma?
Yes, I sure did. Northeastern Oklahoma, Cherokee Nation territory.
And started out as a piano player, is that right?
Well, I started playing the piano when I was 9 years old, and that's also when I started writing songs. My older sister was taking piano lessons, and I took a couple of lessons and quit because I found out it was a lot easier for me to make up my own songs than to read those big notes on a sheet of paper.
I never mastered the piano. I took piano lessons for 2 years. So you started around that Bartlesville area and then ended up in Tulsa when you first probably really got serious about your music career?
Well, actually in Bartlesville when I was 14, I begged my parents to buy me a folk guitar. So I started writing folk music and I was listening to Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and Peter, Paul and Mary, the Kingston Trio. And then, when I was 15, I wanted an electric guitar. So for Christmas, my parents, actually a friend of my dad's made me an electric guitar. It's patterned after the German Framus electric guitar. And they bought me a $7 microphone and a $50 airline amplifier. And I started what has now been documented as the first all-female rock band in the state of Oklahoma.
Wow, that's cool.
Isn't that cool? And, I was inducted into the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame in 2015, and that was one of the things that got me there, was that fact that it was indeed the first all-female rock band in Oklahoma. That was when I was 15 years old in 1965.
Now, where are you located now?
Now I'm in Nashville.
Okay.
After Oklahoma, you mentioned Tulsa. After the all-girl band in Bartlesville, I joined the all-girl band out of Tulsa, and we started touring all over the U.S., and then we started fighting over the same boyfriends, and we broke up. And I went back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where we had said boyfriends, and I joined a band called Swamp Fox, which was a southern rock band. So I played in that area for a couple of years. Louis Anderson was our guitar player, and he wound up going to Nashville and writing a lot of hit songs, including B.J. Thomas's Whatever Happened to Old Fashioned Love, and some really great songs. Well, anyway, after 2 years in Baton Rouge with Swamp Fox, it was sort of like I washed my hair one night, went to a gig, and 2 years later, my hair was still wet. It was sort of like a dream, Baton Rouge, all that southern Louisiana, Thibodaux, Lafayette, all those towns we played in. So I went out to Los Angeles, Lewis and I, drove our old jalopies out to L.A. in February of 1973, and I stayed out there for 9 years, and I was out there during the urban cowboy craze, and that's when I went out there actually to be a rock singer, but every time I opened my mouth, people would say, "You're a country singer," and I'd say, "Oh, I am? Well, I guess I am. I am what I am." So I added pedal steel and fiddle to my band. And during the urban cowboy craze, I had all the work I could handle. It was just great being out there during that era. So I started writing songs for Al Gallico, and I was on a couple of record deals out in L.A. that sort of fell through. They didn't turn out that well for me. But when I started writing for Al, he picked up the phone and called Jerry Kennedy in Nashville. And he said, "Jerry, I got this girl, she writes great songs, she sings great, she looks great, you got to sign her." And he hung up the phone and he looked at me and he said, "Kid, I got you a record deal." So that was really the start of, my road to Nashville. And a couple of years after that, I moved to Nashville and I've been in Nashville ever since, I guess for probably 37 years or so.
I'll tell you one thing, Becky. I was looking over a list of your songs. Some of them I was familiar with, but I think I've lived through every one of your titles personally. You know,
I'm sorry.
The Boots I Came to Town In, you know, Jones on the Jukebox, Honky Tonk Saturday Night. Is there anyone else like you? And they always look better when they're leaving, you know. And I almost hesitate to mention this one, but that song of yours called I Want You to Know Before We Make Love.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've lived through every one of those situations.
I want to know you before we make love.
Hey, that's it.
That's a good idea.
Well. Hey, we do want to get a song in here, so we'll get to visit with you more. But the first one we've got on our list that we want to do is a song called Jones on the Jukebox. Talk a little bit about that and let us know where that came from. And
okay. Well, I had just recently, I'd only been in Nashville a few months, and Don Goodman, the great, great, great lyricist who has written Old Red, Dusty Dixie Rhodes, Ring on Her Finger, Time on Her Hands, Feelings for Conway and Loretta. He was the first big writer who would write with me. And I pretty much came to town. I was used to writing alone a lot, but I also came as a melody person because, you know, I play keys, I play guitar. I also play accordion, which you mentioned that you played or tried to play earlier. And anyway, so Don Goodman and I had our first writing appointment on a Sunday on Music Row, and there was nobody else in the building. And he said, "Hey, Beck, old Mac," meaning Mac Vickery. He said, "Old Mac and I started a song last night," and he just recited the first two lines of the chorus and stomped his foot. He said, "Yeah, I've got Jones on the jukebox and you on my mind. I'm slowly going crazy a quarter at a time." He said, "That's all we've got. You want to jump in on it?" And I said, "My God, would I?" So I never even, at that point, I had not even met Mac Vickery. He called Mac and he said, "Hey, you know, I got Becky Hobbs here." And that was the day that I got my moniker, Beckaroo, and that was from Don Goodman on that Sunday on Music Row. So Mac said, yeah, let her jump in on that, see what she can come up with. So I started playing a shuffle on this old upright piano, and we wrote Jones on the Jukebox.
Great song, too. That's one of the... I guess the first thing I remember hearing you do is probably that song. But
well, thank you. A fun part of this is also that I was opening, after we wrote it and I was getting ready to record it, I got the chance to open some shows for the Possum. So I played him that song to make sure that he liked it and that I would have his blessing. And he loved it. He said, "I love it." And every time he and Nancy would hear me sing Jones on the Jukebox, they'd come backstage and they'd be laughing, and I'd say, "What's so funny?" And they said, "We just love the way you sing the word quarter. Say quarter for it." And I'd say quarter, and they would just bust out laughing, and I still have no idea why.
Oh.
I really don't.
That little Okey girl made an impression on them, I guess.
I guess so.
We're going to listen to Jones on the Jukebox, and we'll be back with more with Becky Hobbs right after this.
And the golden rings are gone, and it's whiskey.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee is a little girl from Oklahoma, Becky Hobbs, Beckaroo. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio with me. Yes. I love that Jones on the Jukebox. That's got to be one of my favorite songs that you do. So I always enjoy listening to that. Now, after you did that, you said you had a contract out there and recorded this. And was this your first record to chart? Or?
Well, not actually, a couple of things I cut when I was still in L.A. charted. I was on my very first record deal was on MCA in L.A., and I might have had one that like maybe cracked the Hot 100 or lingered in the 90s or something. And then I was on a label called Tattoo Records that my management company started and RCA distributed, and I had a couple of things. I actually did an up-tempo version of Someone to Watch Over Me, like Ray Stevens did Misty with the banjo and pedal steel.
Oh, right, yeah.
I did that with Someone to Watch Over Me, and J.D. Manis played pedal steel, who played on Ray Stevens' Misty. Anyway, but once I, on Mercury Records, Honky Tonk Saturday Night and I Can't Say Goodbye to You were the two that charted for me on that label, and then Jones on the Jukebox was a deal that I got with MTM, Mary Tyler Moore Records. I signed the deal in 1987, and the album came out in 1988. It was called All Keyed Up, and Jones on the Jukebox was the first single. So, and we did a video on that, and so I would say that record deal, you know, was the one, because I didn't get to do an album on Mercury. They just released, like, four singles, and then since nothing was really a huge smash, they dropped me from the label.
So as you talk a little bit about Western swing being one of your favorite kinds of music, that from growing up in Oklahoma, or is that just something you came into later? Or?
Well, actually, it's both. Growing up in Oklahoma, my dad was way into Bob Wills and Western swing, and he was also into jazz, which, you know, a lot of jazz is swing.
Yeah.
He was into Gerald and Count Basie and Duke Ellington and all these great musicians. Now, my mom was into George Jones. She had a real early album of George Jones and Jim Reeves, Patsy Cline, Jimmy Rogers. She liked that kind of country music. So I grew up listening and loving all kinds of music. My older sister, who was 3.5 years older, loved rock and roll. She loved Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, Ricky Nelson, Ritchie Valens, you know, on and on. And then later, after I, as I mentioned in L.A. when I added pedal steel and fiddle to my band, I started making a lot of trips to Texas because Honky Tonk Saturday Night did well for me. I forgot to list that when I sent you guys a list. But it actually went to number one on, like, the Big Houston station, on the Austin station. It didn't do that well on the Billboard charts. I think it might have gotten to the 50s, or I can't remember, but it didn't do that well. But locally, in certain markets, in Phoenix, in Tulsa, it went number one on KVOO. So I really started, I had a booking agent out of San Antonio, Bill Green, and he started booking me a lot of gigs down there, and I would use John Wesley Ryle's band, and a lot of times I would open for John Wesley Ryle. We would use the same band, and I really, really got into Western swing then because I was playing in all the dance halls and everything.
During all that running around in the state of Texas, you didn't ever run across a DJ out of that area named Bill Mack, did you?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, I love it.
You know we're in Bill's hometown here in Shamrock, so...
On Shamrock, that's right. Yeah, in fact, I visited him and on his all-night show and a couple of times when I was in the area. Oh, I just love him. In fact, I still keep up with him on Facebook.
Bill has done this very show that we're doing today with you.
Several
He's been
times,
on this show several times, yeah.
So,
wow. What Bill's a great writer he is.
Yeah, Bill's a good advocate for us, too, here in Shamrock. He's always, matter of fact, when he had his XM channel, he was always plugging his old hometown of Shamrock, Texas. So we want to listen to Are There Any More Like You Where You Came From? This is a little bit of a Western swing kick, Buck. So,
oh, yeah.
I think this one's going to be good.
All right.
All right. So we'll listen to this, and we'll be back with more Becky Hobbs right after this.
Bright as a deep blue sea, and you got those lips that wish to be kissed. I wish they were kissing me. Thanks for the dance, thanks for the drink, but I see on your finger a gold wedding ring, so I'd better go before I lose control. But there's one thing that I'd like to know.
Programs Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee, Becky Hobbs in the studio, Buck Weatherby. We listened to a song then called Are There Any More Like You?
You know, earlier Becky was talking about, you know, the influence of Western swing, you know, and her growing up and everything. And I mean, my gosh, Becky, I mean, you were right there in the middle of it all. You know, Bob Wills used to hang around Bartlesville and Tulsa quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know what? Just a few weeks ago, I was in Tulsa with my musical, which we can talk about that later, and they had a groundbreaking for a brand new museum that's going to be called OK Pop, and it's going to feature all genres of art. It's music, it's film, it's visual art, and it's right across the street from Kane's Ballroom.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Talk a little bit about that song, Are There Any More Like You? Is that something you had a part in writing, or is that just one?
I wrote that song by myself. When I got the idea for the song when I was living in L.A., because, you know, I was playing with a lot of different bands, a lot of musicians, but it seemed like every good-looking guy I met was either married or gay. So that's when I wrote down the title, and then years later, once I had settled in Nashville is when I wrote it. It just sort of rolled right out. I had so much fun writing this song.
All right. That's a great song. I just kind of skipped over that, wanted to get back to it. Your writing has been something, though, that you've been involved in, I guess, since you were 14 or so?
9 years old.
9 years old. Okay. What took you so long to get going there?
Well, it's been a long road.
One that you wrote that I bet everybody knows this song, but they probably may not know that you helped write this, Angels Among Us. Talk about that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is a little bit of a lengthy story how this came to be, but it is my biggest copyright, and it is the song, the gift that keeps on giving, because this song has been used to raise money for a lot of charities, including St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. But how this song came to be was shortly before Christmas of 1985, I started getting premonitions that something was going to happen to me. And it would be like right when I'd be laying in bed, getting ready, you know, falling asleep. And it would just feel like some kind of an impact happened. And I'd sit up in bed, my heart would be racing, I'd be sweating, and it'd be that I would have this feeling, but I'm not ready yet. You know, I'm not ready. And anyway, my boyfriend and I drove back to Tulsa that Christmas from Nashville, Christmas of 1985, and I get that feeling a couple of times out on the highway, and we even pulled over a couple of times because I felt something was going to happen. Well, nothing happened. We made it to Christmas in Tulsa. We came back to Nashville, and I thought, wow, this was just something in my imagination, whatever. So on my birthday, January 24th, 1986, in the wee hours of the morning, I was in my kitchen making myself a birthday cake because I was going to have people over later that night. And a force took a hold of my elbow and pulled me out into my front yard. I was by myself, pulled me out in my front yard, and I stood under this little maple tree, and I looked up at this clear, cold, star-lit January sky, and I said, what? What? And this very deep masculine voice said, be careful, this may be your last birthday. And I got, my heart started pounding, and I started breaking out in a sweat, and I got that same feeling that I had been getting.
Oh,
and I stood there and I said, what? I asked for more information. I know when I'm telling this story, it almost sounds so unreal, but it was almost like time stood still. And I asked for more information. That was all I got. I went back in my house and I kept going over those words. Be careful. This may be your last birthday. And I thought, may, it may be. This doesn't mean it's going to be. So I finished making the cake, put it in the oven, went to bed. Later that night, I had friends over. Everything was fine. Well, the very next day, my band and I got in our Dodge Maxi van. We had a gig in Albertville, Alabama, a policeman's benefit. It was on a Saturday. Got in our van. We played this great gig to raise money for the policeman there. After the gig, loaded up our equipment. We were pulling a trailer. We were sitting at a highway intersection with a stoplight outside of Albertville on our way back to Nashville. And our light was red. I'm sitting in the middle row on the left side of the Dodge Maxi van. And I looked, and it was raining. The highway was wet. It was cold and raining. And I looked out the left window, and I saw an 18-wheeler just barreling towards the intersection. And I thought, my God, if his light turns red, he's not going to be able to stop. And right at that moment, I felt our van starting to go. Our road guy, whose name was Randy, had put his foot off the brake, and he was starting to go. And I yelled out for him to stop, and he stopped. He didn't even see the 18-wheeler. Wow. Well, the 18-wheeler jammed on his brakes, on his horn. He slid into us. He hit us in the left front of our Dodge Maxi van, totaled the van. The trailer broke off. We spun around. And that, I feel that since I was on high alert and I had this warning, that if we'd have been hit a split second later, we would have been broadsided and killed.
Oh.
No. Yeah, isn't that wild? And so then after we were hit, I knew, I thought, oh my God, you know, oh my God. And, if, you know, at first you don't know, I didn't know if we were dead or alive or if I'm still in my body or what. And we all ended up just, we all went to the hospital. We all had cuts, bruises, sprained ankles, whatever. I had sprained ankles. And, but we were all okay. And we got, the people came from Nashville and took us back home. And then when I got back to Nashville, I wrote down, I believe there are angels among us.
Wow.
So I, isn't that wild? And I savored this title and this idea, and the chorus came real easy. I had the chorus, and it was a gift. But I got stuck on the verses. It didn't sound right to say, you know, I was with my band in a van on a cold, rainy night. I couldn't get it. So for years, I savored this title, and I'd work on it, and then I'd throw out the verses. So fast forward to January of 1991, Don Goodman, the first big writer, we had continued writing together all those years from when I first came to Nashville. I said, Don, I've got a chorus that I want to play for you. And he was over at my house, and I had this old beat-up baby grand piano that it looked like the killer had played it for, you know, 40 years.
And danced on it, huh?
And I said, I want to play this for you and, you know, see if you want to jump in on this with me. And I played him the chorus, and I looked up, and he had tears running down his face. He said, Beck, I'd be honored. And so we wrote the verses together, and he is, you know, it was a gift. So after we wrote it, we honed it, you know, for a few weeks, and then went in and cut. We cut just a simple little demo, me playing the piano and me singing it. Boom, that was it. And I took it over to Randy Owen, and I left him a little cassette at the Music Mill. And I thought, because, see, Alabama had cut two of my songs. They cut I Want to Know You Before We Make Love, that was on their 40-hour week, that later Conway Twitty took to number one. And they had also recorded Christmas Memories on their Red Christmas album. So I thought, I don't know, this is a long shot. I have no idea. It's not like anything that they've cut. And a couple of weeks later, Randy Owen called me, and they were in the studio, and he told me how much he loved the song, and he asked me, how did you write it? He asked me the story behind it. And I sort of told him, I didn't want to scare him off, and, you know. And then I said, are you guys going to record it? He said, I don't know. He said, nobody in the band wants to record it except me. So then he called me the next day, and he asked more questions about the song. And so I told him, and we chatted, and I said, well, are you guys going to record it? And he said, well, you know, Teddy's the only one that's on my side. So then the next day he called. I said, are you going to record it? He said, I told the band I was going to quit if we didn't record this song.
Whoa!
I know. And what had happened is that he had been reading the lyrics. His daughter, Randa, who was 5 years old at the time, he was reading the lyrics to her as a bedtime story, and that's why he spoke the first couple of lines of Angels Among Us, whereas I sang it all the way through, you know, from the very first line of the first verse all the way. And also, his older daughter had lost a very good friend in a car accident I think she was in high school or junior high. So he was moved to cut the song, and, you know, the rest is history. Randy told me that it has gotten more response than any other song Alabama's ever recorded.
Wow. Well, let's take a listen to Angels Among Us, visiting with Becky Hobbs from Nashville, Tennessee on Lyrics and Legends. We're going to listen to this and be back with more Becky Hobbs right after this.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, though he was standing there. But I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me hours to show us how to live,
to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend, just to say they understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, to grace us with their mercies in our time of need. To guide us with the light of love. They guide us with the light of love. The
program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee, Becky Hobbs. In the studio, Buck Weatherby.
Becky's got some stories, hasn't she? Along with some great music.
That Angels Among Us we just listened to, that's always been one of my favorite Alabama tunes, along with probably any other Alabama
tune. Yeah, I was kind of fighting a tear in my eye, as a matter of fact. Hey, Becky, you've talked about some emotional experiences and whatnot in some of the things behind some of the titles and the lyrics of your songs. I want to talk about something that I bet was really emotional to you. Talk about what was going on in your head when you made the debut in 1985 at the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow, it was another one of those moments. I was so excited and so nervous, and I had been in the ladies' room just going over and over my makeup, and just probably from sheer nerves. And a lot of people tell this same story about Minnie Pearl, but Minnie Pearl was in the ladies' room too, and I told her that I was so nervous, and she said what she said to so many other artists, honey. She said, just love them and they'll love you back. So she gave me that great advice, and my band played with me, and they were so wound up because it was their first time to play the Opry. And you know, when you play the Opry, no matter what instrument you're playing, you just walk up there, you plug in, and you play. You don't get a sound check. You don't get anything. And I think, a lot of times on the Opry, I'd be playing the grand piano there, and you know, I was always nervous that the mic would fall or something, because I had no control over how the mic was set up and all that good stuff. And then a couple of times I'd just go out there and I'd play acoustic guitar and sing with my band, of course. So it was one of those nights where it was just exhilarating and such an honor.
Who was on that show with you, Becky?
Well, I don't remember who all was on the show, but who introduced me was Bill Monroe.
Oh, wow.
And he introduced me as because that was when, let's see, that was 85, so RCA was distributing, I don't know, but he said RCA Victor's newest recording off at Becky Hobbs.
Wow.
So I'm trying to think of what label I was on then, and it must have been distributed by RCA, but he called it RCA Victor, which of course hadn't been used for, you know, a century.
That's great.
It was such an honor, though, and of course Bill Monroe closed the show that night. Yeah.
So another song that you told me was one of your personal favorites, and has a little bit of a, maybe some girl has a little weakness for cowboys.
There you go.
Hey, I've got a really funny story. This may end up on the floor, but a buddy of mine came in yesterday, and I said, I got an interview with Becky Hobbs, and he's like, no way. I said, yeah, and he said, we went to a rodeo, he and three or four of his buddies, in Freedom, Oklahoma, and you were doing the show at Freedom, Oklahoma.
I remember Freedom, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he said, those guys all bet me money I wouldn't go up and ask you to dance, and he said, she turned me down, but I won the bet. So I don't know if you would remember all that. Probably not. But
probably the only reason why I turned him down is because I was working.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, yeah, she was working. Yeah. So it was just funny. He was just like,
that's
great memories.
I said hi, and next time I'll dance.
All right, I'll tell him he's got on your dance card. So this next song you've got on here is one called Cowgirl's Heart. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's just one of my favorites because it's a bittersweet song. It's about a cowboy that I knew and dated for a while. And now I can't even remember his name. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. But he shall remain nameless.
Might be that friend of yours, Gary.
Could be Scott. Yeah.
Certainly could be. But, yeah, it's just a bittersweet song, and I always liked it. And a lot, you know, I worked a lot in Europe through the years, and they always sort of had their favorite songs of mine. And one of them is Boots I Came to Town In, and some other ones. But this is also one of their favorite songs. Several groups in Europe have cut this song.
All right. Did you write this as well?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I wrote it myself.
All right. Buck, we're going to listen to Cowgirl's Heart, and we're going to be back to visit with Becky Hobbs a little more right after this.
Oklahoma stars.
program's Lyrics and Legends in the studio with me, my counterpart. What do we call you? Sidekick, partner in crime?
You can call me whatever you want to, but just be sure and call me for dinner.
Buck Weatherby in the studio with me, and on the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee. Buck, we've been visiting with Becky Hobbs and just having a blast.
You know, I was looking over, Becky, I was looking over some of the stuff that we have on your illustrious career here, and I mean, you have written some songs for some really all-stars, you know. Talk about some of the experiences that some of the people that you have written songs for.
Wow. Well, my first major artist that recorded any of my music actually was a pop artist, Helen Reddy, when I was living in L.A. Helen recorded four of my songs, and one of them, I Can't Say Goodbye to You, actually was her last Billboard single. It was a single in the U.K., and, you know, and I'm still making some money off of that because Helen Reddy was, you know, known throughout the world and just a great lady. If she got two songs pitched to her that she liked equally well, and if one of them was written by a woman, she would cut the song written by the woman because she knew that we had more, probably had more challenges, you know, than a guy out there, you know, pitching our song. And then Glenn Campbell recorded a song with Emmylou Harris that I co-wrote called You Are on his Still Within the Sound of My Voice album. Now, I pitched it to Glenn, and I was thinking that, you know, boy, it'd be great to get a Glenn Campbell cut. But then when he cut it as a duet with Emmylou Harris, that was a beautiful surprise. And my songs have been cut. Conway Twitty, as I mentioned earlier, when I found out from Alabama that I Want to Know You Before We Make Love was not going to be their next single, the label decided to release You Can't Keep a Good Man Down from their 40-hour week album instead of my song. And I cried all the way to Conway Twitty. And Conway, his manager at the time, she called me to tell me how much Conway loved the song. And she said, but he would like to change one word. And I said, no worries. No worries. Yeah. He changed from the first line of the chorus, he built it up. I had started with, I want to know you before we make love. I want to know you before I make love to you. I started it, the chorus with it, and ended with it. He wanted to change love to hold in the first line. I want to hold you before I make love to you. And that just made all the sense in the world. And he was, truly, everybody called him the songwriter's best friend. And he really was. And later, after he cut I Want to Know You Before You Make Love, it went to number two in Billboard for him. He told me that several of my songs that I had pitched to him through the years, he had played for Tammy Wynette because he thought that they'd be really, really good for her. Now, I never got a Tammy Wynette cut, dang it, but I was a huge fan of hers.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I had Conway Twitty cuts and Mo Bandy and Joe Stampley cuts Still on a Roll that I
cut. So when Conway called you, did he say, hello, Beckaroo?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'll just dream that he did.
Okay.
It's been a long, long time. Let's slap another one on there and give it a spin.
We need to get Yellow Pages Under Blue. Talk a little bit about that. You say it's got a little bit of a Texas feel.
Yeah, sort of got a little bit of a Texarkana type groove to it. Well, I was stranded in a hotel room in Tulsa. I had just been to Bartlesville to visit my mom for Christmas, and I'd gotten a ride to the Tulsa airport, and lo and behold, it was when Nashville was canceled. So I got a room at the Ramada Inn there, and I thought, man, you know, I had remembered that Danny Flowers, who wrote Tulsa Time, had said that he wrote Tulsa Time when he was stranded in a hotel room in Tulsa. And I thought, man, I'm going to look around this room. I'm going to write me a song, and it's going to be as big as Tulsa Time. So I looked around the room, and that's when they still had phone books.
Right. Big old phone books.
Yeah. And I thought, Yellow Pages Under Blue. Man, So that's how this song was inspired.
All right, we're going to listen to Yellow Pages Under Blue. We're going to run out of time, Buck. I always hate when this happens. Oh, but we got time to stick a few more in here. We'll listen to Yellow Pages Under Blue. Be back to visit with Becky Hobbs a little bit right after this.
I'm leaving this old town. I'm tired of hanging around. There's nothing for me here now. You're gone. Well, I thought that we could work it out, but you left me without a doubt. There's nothing left to do but move along. I've got some friends in Chickasha. Living's easy there, they say. Maybe I could start my life anew. And if you ever want to find me with a trail of tears behind me, look in the yellow pages under blue. I'll be in the yellow pages under blue. I gave you all I had, and it really makes me sad to think that you could throw it all away. Well, I guess by now you've found another fool-hearted, lonely lover, someone to take my place. So I'm walking out the door, and I ain't coming back no more. Leaving's all that's left for me to do. And if you ever want to find me with a trail of tears behind me, look in the yellow pages under blue. I'll be in the yellow pages under blue. Living's easy there, they say. Hey, maybe I could start my life anew. And if you ever want to find me with a trail of tears behind me, look in the yellow pages under blue. If you're back in Oklahoma and you're ever feeling lonesome, look in the yellow pages under blue. I'll be in the yellow pages under blue.
Programs, lyrics, and legends in the studio. Buck Weatherby on the phone from Nashville, Tennessee. Becky Hobbs, and one, Buck, is that was written in a motel room in Bartlesville,
I think.
In Tulsa.
In Tulsa. Okay. See,
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I slept since then.
Yeah, you need to be paying closer attention, Gary.
I'm trying to go down the list and plan this.
We were talking during the break about the credits that you have, and not just as a songwriter, but I heard somebody refer to you, Becky, as a piano pounding honky tonker, Becky Hobbs.
I also play rockabilly on the piano, and of course, when I was very young, my dad took me to see Jerry Lee Lewis. And I just thought, oh my God, I was on fire after I saw him. And loved him. So a lot of my shows I was ending with Great Balls of Fire and kicking the keys and playing the keys with my elbow and everything. And that's sort of been part of my shtick as far as a performer goes. And one reason why I played in Europe a lot is because I could play keys like that. So, that's just been a lot of a fun part of my career. I only got to open for The Killer one time, and that was in Lafayette, Louisiana at the Cajun Dome. And for some odd reason, that night he had his right hand wrapped up. He said he had closed it in a car door. I don't know. So I couldn't. I was right there up close and personal watching him play, but he wasn't at his top performance that night.
That is a great story. Then. There's a couple more we're going to try to squeeze in here. We're going to run out of time, but I want to get This is one of my personal favorites. It's a song called They Always Look Better When They're Leaving. Talk about just a little bit. We'll get it in here.
That was one of the songs I've lived through, I think.
Well, it was a song, really. There's not much of a story behind it, but I had a series of really rotten relationships, and that I just had so much fun writing that song. It just rolled right out.
Well, that sounds like Buck right there.
Thanks, Gary.
Anytime, Buck. We're going to listen to They Always Look Better When They're Leaving. We're going to be back with more Becky Hobbs right after this. Lyrics and Legends. We're wrapping up a good program, Buck. We've had a chance to visit with Becky Hobbs from Nashville, and one of our DJs in Amarillo, Charlie Ward, said, hey, you need to call Becky Hobbs, and I sent her an email, and she answered back, and I was just ecstatic. So talk about I Don't Dance with Strangers, Becky.
I Don't Dance with Strangers. That song came about a guy who lives in Arkansas that was coming to Nashville playing golf with a whole bunch of songwriters. He was a title person, and he gave me the title and the hook. I Don't Dance with Strangers, so honey, what's your name? And that's all I needed, and that's, the song just rolled out. All and right. It really, writing the song really took me back to the Texas dance hall days. Really did, back in the urban cowboy craze. Yeah.
All right, we're going to send this out to Scott then.
Yeah, he's all the right guy you turned down.
There you go.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with more Becky Hobbs.
The band is playing that old melody. Oh, and it brings back summer nights and good old Texas memories. Oh, and the last thing I expected was
but you're tall, dark, and lonesome, and it's driving me insane. But I don't dance with strangers, so honey, what's your name? Now listen, I ain't looking for a romance. Oh, the last thing that my heart needs now is to take another chance. But what's the harm in one so round the fold? Ooh, oh, and maybe later on we won't be strangers anymore. 'Cause I don't dance with strangers. It's a dangerous thing to do. I just came here to hear the band and have myself a drink or two. And you're tall, dark, and lonesome, and it's driving me insane. But I don't dance with strangers. So honey, what's your name?
The program's Lyrics and Legends. We're wrapping up a good one with I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio, Becky Hobbs on the phone. Becky, unfortunately, we're reaching that point in the program where we're going to be out of time, but you've got a project called...
Yes, called Nanya. I've written a full-blown 18-song musical about my fifth great-grandmother, who was a Cherokee war woman turned peacemaker in the 1700s. She was born in 1738, died in 1822, before the forced removal of the Trail of Tears. I am a Cherokee Nation citizen, you know, born and raised in northeastern Oklahoma, card-carrying citizen. Nanya He risked her life to make peace between the Cherokees and all others, and most importantly, the early Americans. She played a very pivotal role in the Revolutionary War, yet the average American has no idea who she was. So about 12 years ago, it became my mission to tell her story, and I started writing these songs in 1993. I thought I'd just be doing a CD full of songs dedicated to her, but it has turned into a musical. We've had 10 full productions, 52 shows. Our last shows were just in November at the Tulsa Hard Rock. He sold out, standing O's. Our next shows are in Hartwell, Georgia in September and Cherokee, North Carolina in October. But people can find out where the shows are by going to nanyehi.com, N-A-N-Y-E-H-I.com. Or you can also go to BeckyHobbs.com and find out.
All right. And we listen to Pale Moon, Becky, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okie doke.
Spirit tonight. help us to give, to learn and to live and to love.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, wrapping up a program, a really good program with Buck Weatherby and Becky Hobbs. We talked about your musical, Nanyahi. Did I do that well enough?
You did it. All right.
And the song we just listened to was Pale Moon. We have on our show, I think we still are working on getting background music for this, but it's called The Department of Shameless Plugs. So I know you just talked a little bit about this musical, but you can talk about anything else you want to plug and anything else you want to promote, and it's all yours.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, January 22nd, I'm playing the Bluebird Cafe here in Nashville.
Oh,
it's crawling distance from my house. Every year in the month of January, the Bluebird donates every penny brought in to Alive Hospice, which is a beautiful place where, you know, people can spend their last days in dignity and comfort. Every songwriter in town who's had any cuts at all just contributes their time, everybody from Vince Gill on. And then, I've got a couple of things coming up in April. I've got a benefit for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in St. Augustine, Florida, mid-April. That date will be up on my website as soon as I post it. I've been so busy. And then I also have a date in Wagner, Oklahoma, third week of April coming up. But, the musical is really what I'm focusing on. We have also made a short film of Nanyahi that we've entered into film festivals the past couple of years, and it's done real well for us. So folks can keep up with me also on my Facebook page, Becky Hobbs Friends and Fans, and also there's a Facebook page for Nanyahi-The Story of Nancy Ward.
All right. Well, Becky, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to visit with us over here in the panhandle of Texas. And I know you've probably been through here a time or two going down I-40.
Oh, my Lord, yes. Just all the years I was out in L.A. driving back and forth to Bartlesville for Christmas, I know it's been right through your area.
Next time.
I want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate you guys so much.
The next time you come through Shamrock, you'll say, well, that's where Gary and Buck are in the hometown of Bill Mack.
All right. I sure will.
Bill keeps telling us he and Willie are going to come climb the water tower. We'll see when that happens. So, thank you so much for visiting with us. If you get through, stop in Shamrock and check it out. It's a beautiful place to be.
I will for sure. And thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Becky.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.